بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. قال الله تعالى: وقل ربي زدني علما. صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah says, instructs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and say, O Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, make this dua, invoke me by saying, Rabbi zidni ilma, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. This is the only sifa of ilm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking directly, even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to seek increase of. There is no ayah of وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي mala, that will give me increase in knowledge, in wealth, or any other blessing, but rather وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, increase me in the knowledge of the deen. My dear respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many blessings of the dunya, and has educated us, and we have worked hard in educating ourselves for this material world just so that we can lead a comfortable life. But how much effort have we put in to educate ourselves regarding the deen, upon which is the basis of our amal that will lead to eternal salvation, that will lead to success in the akhirah? There are two levels of the knowledge. One is fard ayn. It's a fard on every single individual to learn that level. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned talab al-ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslimin wa muslima, that seeking such a level of knowledge is farad upon every male and female Muslim. Then there is a level beyond that, which is farad kifaya, for every ummah, for every community, for every area. There should be some individuals, ta'ifatun minhum liyatafaqahu fi al-deen, one group from amongst them who dedicate themselves fully to understanding the deen in its totality, وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, so that they could warn others, they could teach others, they could guide others. That's the fard kifaya level. So the question is that, have you fulfilled the fard ayn level or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl upon us here that both levels of education are taking place. One is the fard ayn level, which is taking place in the masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we are so blessed that there is the fard kifaya level on the other side of the courtyard in the madrasa. The masjid is the fard ayn level place, and the madrasa is the fard kifaya level. The purpose of today's reminder was to, first of all, for many who are unaware, bring them up to speed that just, alhamdulillah, a newer initiative a few weeks ago from last month, and it had started before, but then it stopped, unfortunately, because of lack of attendance or lack of interest. But then, alhamdulillah, we restarted these halaqat of ilm in the masjid for the adults. All of these levels of education that are being taught in the masjid are the fard ayn level. Some of the halaqas that take place, there's an actual map regarding it. If they're from the first saf, if you go back after, these are taking place every day after Fajr, after Asr, and subhanAllah, after Dhuhr, after Asr, we have the Imaniyat halaqa, we have the Tajweed halaqa, we have the Fiqh of Salah, Fiqh of Tahara, Fiqh of Sawm. We have different, mashallah, expert students in these subjects who have ijazah, who are teaching it, full-time students of knowledge. They're studying in the madrasa and they're teaching. So there are classes in the madrasa where students enroll, they are paying tuition, and the teachers are also getting paid giving their time. But this is a very, very unique program here where, alhamdulillah, all of these teachers who are teaching, they are full-time students. They do not have big bank balances or other incomes, but they are dedicating their time, lillahi ta'ala, free. On top of all their studies from morning till night, they are giving free khidmah, and this is something we encourage them. We did not compel them to sign up for that. You are learning, it's not just about taking, you also have to give back to the community. So all of these teachers who are teaching in the masjid, these halaqas that have been taking place, are teaching lillah fillah. Those who are teaching in the seminary side are also lillah fillah, but they are not getting any compensation for their time as well. They're dedicating this time for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are studying also, they are not necessarily being asked to pay any tuition, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the heart. But this is the closest resemblance to the halaqat of ilm that used to take place in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were different groups. One of them would be sitting ta'alim and ta'allum, teaching and learning. Another would be doing dhikr and ibadah. Another would be engaged in da'wah and inviting the non-Muslims towards Islam, and those who are already accepted Islam towards reviving their iman. And then there's a halaqah of khidmah, of service. So alhamdulillah, after Asr, we have these volunteers, mashallah, may Allah reward them. Team Fajr typically takes place on Saturdays. They're doing khidmah, they're serving. And they're putting down the tarps, picking up the tarps. These tarps that are downstairs, the brothers were working on it till like 1 a.m., putting them together, and they started after Isha and took so many hours. This is all the different forms of khidmah, from the parking lot, when it's freezing cold outside, when it's raining, may Allah protect everyone from snow in Ramadan. But they are working outside and serving you and helping you to park. Subhanallah, this is all the forms of khidmah. The volunteers that are accepting, that are receiving brothers and guiding them, it's all khidmah. So there are many forms of khidmah that are taking place. Then there's da'wah. The brothers have the mashura on my right, your left. In the morning, this is where they are engaged in the effort of da'wah of iman. Da'wah of Islam to non-Muslims, da'wah of reviving iman within Muslims. As Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu said, "Halla najlis nu'minu sa'atan." Let us sit down and revive our iman. And then we have the halaqah of tajweed. My dear respected brothers, this is the month of Ramadan. This is the month of reciting the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Warattilil al-Qur'ana tartila." Recite the Quran with tartil. This is the amr lil wujub, a command that makes it necessary and mandatory to recite the Quran with tajweed. Tajweed, sometimes we have this misconception that, okay, that's for, you know, qaris or who want to beautify their voice and sound nice, or, you know, have some professional qira career. That's not me. I don't need to learn tajweed. Allahu Akbar. This is such a major misunderstanding. Tajweed is something at a basic level. It is farad. Yes, there are further levels of it. There's a farad ayn level and a farad kifaya level. This is a farad ayn level that we recite the Quran correctly. Tajweed. Tajweedul huruf is, so tartil is tajweedul huruf and wa ma'rifatul wuquf. To learn how to recite the letters according to the ahkam of tajweed, wa ma'rifatul wuquf, to know where to stop and how to stop. Even the stopping has its specific ahkam and rulings. And what is tajweedul huruf? It's maharijul huruf and sifatul huruf. To learn where the letters are originate from and what are the attributes. The sifat are lazima and arida, all the different sifat. What are the sifat of these letters? So this is an obligation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just say make tilawah the way you feel like it. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Those that we have granted them the book, they recite the Quran by fulfilling the haqq of his Quran. The haqq of tilawah is a very important word. Haqq means that there is an obligation. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. Like in our wealth, there is a haqq. The haqq is 2.5% that we have to give. Then on top of that, then it is tabarru', it's nafal, sadaqah. So there, the haqq indicates that it's an obligation that you will be questioned. You have a haqq of your parents, haqq of your spouse, haqq of your children. There, it's not something optional. You take care of them if you feel like it, and wow, you get extra rewards. But rather, it's an obligation. So likewise, there is a haqq of tilawah. Haqq of tilawah, kamman wa kayfan, number-wise, quantity-wise, and quality-wise. Number-wise, that it's a haqq of the Qur'an that we make a khatam in Ramadan, and a khatam outside of Ramadan, quantity-wise. Quality-wise, that we recite the Quran the way it was revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is why, in, like, if you take language, English, you know, geographically, if you go eastern, east coast United States, western, different accents, the Canadian accent, the Scottish accent, the Irish accent, Australian accent, just the same language of English. But subhanallah, if you have the whitest of white, Boston Qari, the blackest of black, Nigerian Qari, or brown Indonesian Qari, if they're reciting the Quran in tajweed, when you listen to the tilawa, you cannot identify. Imagine if someone from, I only give examples of where English is an indigenous language spoken. Otherwise, if you have a Chinese person speaking English, subhanAllah, it will sound very, very different. Right? No matter how educated the Chinese person may be, that's not his language. But Allahu Akbar, this is one of the miracles of the Quran. It's not just that the letters are preserved, the dots are preserved, the harakat, sakanat, fatha, dhamma, kasra are preserved, but Allahu Akbar, even the accent and how it's recited is preserved. And that's on the first page of the tajweed books. We learn what is the maqsad of tajweed, what's the ghaya, is that to be able to learn how to recite the Quran kama unzila ala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way it was revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Recently, somewhere on YouTube, there was a link of the oldest recorded recitation of the Quran from a very, very primitive first type of recording that was there in the 1800s. Of course, it sounded exactly like the Quran is recited today. And if we had a recording of the way the Sahaba recited it, it would have been exactly the same. So we have these different halaqat taking place. And we need to, inshallah, benefit from them, as was established by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Masjid Nabawi. And then the Sahaba continued it on. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent, and the Khulafa Rashidun sent out different Sahaba in the different areas. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was sent to Yemen, and Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu sent to Kufa, and Abu Darda radiallahu anhu sent to Sham, and subhanAllah, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu sent Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As to Egypt. These Sahaba in the different areas, they established the same halaqat. Because speaking about adult education, imagine the need. Because one person accepts Islam, and we do not want to belittle that. It's such a moment of happiness. We all say, Takbir Allah Akbar, somebody accepted Islam, one brother or one sister. But this was a period of time during the Khilafat of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. So they would say whole groups. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas has entered Iraq. Iraq accepted Islam, the whole country. Khalid bin Walid and Abu Ubaid bin Jarrah in Sham, whole Sham accepted Islam, meaning Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Palestine, Israel, all of this is Sham. Amr ibn al-As had fataha Misr, entered into Misr, Misr accepted Islam. So all of these people who were accepting Islam, they were educated and they had halaqat. Where was that education taking place? It was taking place in the masjid. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu is the first individual of this ummah, had the title of Hakim al-Ummah. He was such a wise scholar. When Umar ibn Khattab sent him to Damascus, then he started with one halaqah, and the students studied with him in the masjid. Then all of those graduates, they started their own halaqat under his supervision. And then the graduates from that started their own halaqat. He had 4,000 students in the Jamia of Dimashq, in the masjid of Damascus. Right? So we want to revive that legacy. And this is the closest we could be in resemblance, subhanAllah, to the halaqat in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yajlisu qawman fi baytin min buyutillah. Whenever people sit together in the house of Allah, yathuruna kitab Allah. They're reciting the Quran. وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِيمَا بَيْنَهُمْ, and they are studying it. لَحْفَتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, the angels surround their gathering. وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ, the rahmah enshrouds them, the sakina, special mercy descends upon them. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِيمَنْ عِنْدَهُ, Allah Ta'ala remembers them in the company of his noble angels. And I conclude with that, subhanAllah, this is adult learning. Right? If we are 50 years old and we want to go sit at the maktab, enroll in the classes, right? Next to us will be somebody 5 years old. It is hard for the nafs. But we should not have haya in learning. Right, two places we should not have haya. If you have haya by the ustad, and we will remain jahil. And if you have haya by the doctor, we will remain sick. Right, so we have to. The doctor says, "Where is hurting? Wherever it may be, we have to expose ourselves and tell the doctor how we're feeling. Otherwise, we will remain sick." And we go by the teacher. We have to expose ourselves. No matter, don't worry about being considered a jahil, ignorant. Otherwise, we will remain ignorant. But nevertheless, it is hard for the nafs. So over here, if you're 50 years old, the person next to you will be 60-year-old. You do not have to worry about that. There's no judgment, right? No judgment-free zone. At every level, this is for adults. So we can continue learning till, inshallah, till we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min al-mahdi ila al-lahad, from the cradle to the grave. So these are the imaniyat, tahara. I just talked about tajweed. Same thing with fiqh. How do we ensure that our salah is correct, our tahara is correct, our soma is correct? There's a fiqh of all of the above. We may have learned it and we need to review, or we may never have gotten an opportunity to learn it. So let us avail of these beautiful opportunities. Inshallah, another announcement for today's special program after Dhuhr. We have Mufti Yusuf bin Yaqub, Khalifa Mufti Ibrahim Desai, Rahmatullah Ali, visiting us from Virginia, from the East Coast. So he'll be speaking to us, inshallah, after Dhuhr Salah, Mufti Yusuf bin Yaqub, guest speaker from Virginia. After Asr Salah, we have the Footprints in the Sand, Lessons from the Pious with Mufti Azimuddin Ahmad, speaking about Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. And then there's another reminder announcement about, please ensure you pick up your children from the next gen Tarawih immediately after Witr. After Witr, if your children are there in the gym, please pick them up. Any remaining kids will be brought to the masjid. Okay, so it sounds like they're going to be dragged in chains here. Okay, so, but meaning they will be escorted kindly and gently and brought to the masjid and asked to engage in dua, that, oh Allah, bring our parents, join us with our parents. Okay, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fast and grant us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah.